Am I alone here? Must I do this myself? So be it. Rage. Penrith.
Shiny!
Quest Gaming Networks presents Dungeon Crawler. All the loot hunting tips, tricks, and commentary your instanced adventure can handle. Dungeon Crawler, your favorite podcast for all your Dungeon Crawler gaming news, loot tips, and excitement. Goodness. Today's record date is November 14th, 2012. My name's Dave D'Enforce Adams, and tonight sitting in with me is, once again, Brian Armstrong, our wonderful writer here at Quest Gaming Network. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Also, tonight we have, once again, Steve. That's, you may know him from Diablo Off the Record Infamy as Kete. Steve, say hey.
Hi, David.
Well, I meant say hey to, like, the listeners as well.
Hey, listeners.
That was, you actually put more effort into saying, whatever.
I like it better than you.
You're fired. Moving on. We are sponsored on this episode by Tweaked Audio, some of the top quality earbuds money can buy. Great quality, nearly indestructible, but if you do happen to destroy these things by accident, they do have a lifetime guarantee on them. That's tweakedaudio.com. Now, not only are they sponsoring us, but we're helping them out just a little bit more. We're helping you out with a code at checkout. Off the record, 30% off of all items in your cart at checkout. That brings down their cheapest earphones from $19.99 to $12.99. Also, remember, check out all their different styles and colors, including bright pink headphones. That's right, pink headphones. Only real men can sport those. All right, guys, that's enough for our sponsors. Let's actually get into what we have been doing over the past. Well, it's been kind of a crazy few weeks. Had to postpone the show due to a Superstorm Sandy kind of messing up what we had going on for scheduling. So we had to completely change the host scheduling around. In fact, we are not recording on Saturday. Right now, we're recording on a Wednesday night. So hopefully this will actually end up being better for us, but we'll see. Anywho, because we pushed it back so far, I've actually had a lot of time to fool around in D3. I've been partnering with a great fella known as Mr. Maurice. If you ever see him around, one of the best, I gotta say, one of the best demon hunters I've ever known in-game. Me and him have been running a few times. We ran, it was on one occasion, but we did run on multiple Act 4 Monster Power 3 runs, trying to get our hands on the plans for the Hellfire Rings. And I personally counted. I have a little thing. I have these sticky notes on my computer. I counted every single time I ran this dang act to try to get those plans to drop. I did 10 times over the past week. And I know that some people are going to, you know, poo-poo that. But for me, I lose my patience sometimes when things shouldn't, you know, are supposed to add up and they don't. Honestly, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve. Isn't Monster Power 3... should be 30% chance to drop, right?
Yeah, 30%. That's roughly 1 in 3.
And I did it 10 times. This thing should have dropped 3 times over, and I have yet to see it once. It should have dropped 3 times over within the past... since I've last talked to y'all on Dungeon Crawler. I put in countless times before that. I don't know what's wrong with me. I have possibly the worst luck in the world. You know what I need to do? I need to go play the lottery, but pick the exact numbers that I normally wouldn't pick, because those will probably win.
It's not just you, Dave. I'm having the same problem. I've been playing pretty much the same thing as you. I've been doing Monster Power 2, though, just because I die a lot, and I'm not finding anything either. And I've been playing it over and over again, and nothing. So I don't know what it is.
You know, but I promise. I know. I keep telling myself that it's all randomly generated. I know it's the roll of the dice. I know. I keep telling myself that. But it really, really grates on me, especially since I know that we have listeners to this show that have, like, multiple Hellfire rings already. They're having issues thinking, gee, should I break these Hellfire rings down? You know, I'm having problems just finding the dang plans for the things.
Yeah, I'm not sure they actually exist.
You know, I'm thinking that too. I'm thinking I have to start praying to the Diablo 3 gods. Just come on, dude. I need my plans. I just want to make a ring. Well, the good thing is I know I'm going to do this. I know I'm going to eventually get the plans for my Hellfire ring. And once I do, I never have to deal with Act 4 again. And I know probably both of them, Brian and Steve, can relate. That has got to be the worst act to farm for the Key Warden. Isn't it right that there's just about exactly five or maybe a handful of runs? I've had a few more, but usually it's exactly five elites that give me my five stacks of Nephilim Valor before I hit that Key Warden every time.
Yeah, you got to be careful. I mean, if you're not, you'll actually end up, you know, finding the Key Warden with only four stacks. Then you have to run and
yeah. And how many times have we considered just starting at the end and then going to the beginning and clearing to the Warden? It's crazy. They put that Warden exactly smack dab in the middle of that act to the point where it inconveniences you no matter what direction you start that act in. It is, it's just a pain. And first world problems, right? No, it's first sanctuary problems. That's what that is. Woe is me! How dare the enemy try to stop me from killing him and taking his loot?
Yeah, that's pretty rude, I gotta say.
It really is. He's such a jerk. So, but, you know, I put a lot of effort towards trying to get this thing, and I got so sick and tired of it, I threw it down. I was like, nope, I'm done. So I haven't even touched D3 ever since I got so mad I just X'd out of it. I don't care. Don't care about my auctions. Let them expire and sit there in my thing. I'm not even going to touch it.
Yeah, see, I consider myself a pretty casual player, and that's something I want to get, and it's really frustrating when, as a person who doesn't have a whole lot of time to play the games, and I want to get something, I can't, because every time I, you know, try to get it, I die, or I don't have enough, you know, stacks of Nephilim Valor, and it's frustrating. I want to get those, and it's making me mad.
Yeah, I feel the same. I think it's not for the average players, it's for those unusual people that can actually get it.
Yeah, it's for the people who can dedicate, you know, 20, 30 runs a sitting just to try to get these things, just to try to get the pieces, just to try to fight the bosses in the special portals, to try to get the components necessary to make these. It takes a special person to even have the luxury of being able to do that, but darn it if I don't want to be one of them people. I really want my Hellfire ring. I can taste it. But speaking of D3, we did get an email in, and I know I want to mention that we actually got a few odd emails that may not have understood this hard corner challenge we've been doing lately. The hard corner challenge we've been doing is I extended it to the end of November so that people could send in how far they've achieved. It's not just, hey, get to the butcher and you're done. No, no. I want to see how far people actually can make it in Monster Power 10. It's more than a hardcore challenge. It's a month-long Monster Power hardcore challenge. I really, really want to see how far people can put effort into this. In fact, we got one humorous email in, Brian.
Yeah, you're going to read that one, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to read this one. It says, I was hoping to make it all the way through November with this challenge, but alas, my hero has fallen. At least I'll have a talking point on the show this week. Smiley face.
Yes.
So I want to hear what spurred this on. I want to know exactly how it happened and how you think Monster Power 10 was going.
All right, well, I'll just start it by saying you can't look away from your screen for 1 second when you're playing this mode. I was doing really good. I was focused. I was, you know, advancing my character. I was doing a wizard, which I hadn't actually played before, which maybe was a mistake. But I got to level 10. I beat the Skeleton King, and really pretty easily. I mean, I wasn't taking much damage. I wasn't having to run a whole lot. And then I get out, you know, right after that into the Fields of Misery, and I don't know, something happened behind me in the house, and I had to look for a second, and I look back, and I'm dead. It kind of sucked. It was one of those trees, too, those poisonous trees.
Yeah, anyway. Those guys are mean.
And, I mean, I knew it was going to be one of those guys to kill me eventually anyway, because I hate those guys. But, yeah, don't look away, because they'll sneak up on you and come and get you.
Well, apparently we've actually had some listeners undertaking the Monster Power 10 Hardcore Challenge, they've already beat the Butcher.
No, of course not.
That's insane. I mean, all power to them, but I'm not... I'm a scaredy cat. I'm not going to be able to do that. I know that I'm given these challenges that I know I'm not man enough to complete. But it's crazy that some of these people are, you know, all power to them. I'm applauding you 100% for having the wherewithal to actually get all the way on a hardcore character through Monster Power 10 all the way through the Butcher. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't even have a hardcore character anywhere near that without Monster Power.
Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy that they're... We have so many deaths just trying to even get to the Butcher. I'm amazed that someone's able to not only get to him, but walk past him, even on normal. That's all power to you guys. Remember, if you are going to undertake the Hard Corner Challenge, send us in an email at dungeoncrawlerpodcast@gmail.com with I'm a hardcore hero or I'm a fallen hero. Or just say hardcore challenge. I'll definitely read it because I definitely do love reading every email that comes into that site. Once again, that's dungeoncrawlerpodcast@gmail.com. All right. Speaking of D3, let's step into the D3 and D2 news this week. The first thing, which is hopefully going to spawn a little bit of a conversation for us, the Diablo 2 ladder has been reset. But I wanted to know, my guests here today, do y'all think that a D3 ladder would be fun to have? Now, let me go into detail, because I know that there are some people who don't really know what the ladder system is.
That's me.
But, you know, that's fine. What it is, in Diablo 2, they have seasons. Just like, you know, some games like World of Warcraft has
Pokemon
PvP seasons. No, not Pokemon, Steven.
Pokemon Black White has seasons.
That's actual seasons. I'm talking like sports seasons. You know, like football has a season. It's
not a fan of sports.
It's the same sort of thought process here in that it's a competition. The ladder is exactly that. It's a ladder. And anyone who participates has a rung on that ladder. People who do better move higher up in the ladder all the way until the top. And the way that I've seen them do it in the past is they do the rankings for Diablo 2 based on who can reach the highest level in the least amount of time. And they rank them like that. So, yeah, sometimes they'll let the ladder run for a very long time. And it ends up just looking like a whole bunch of people of the same class at max level, and it really doesn't make much sense. But when you're at the very start of it, you can really feel that pressure of building your character, of trying to progress, of trying to gain that next level faster than the next person in the world, just to try to get that next rung up on the ladder. And Diablo 2, it is completely optional. Yes, if you make a ladder character at the end of the season, at the beginning of the new season, they completely wipe out that character. It's gone. Anything in their bank's gone, that character's stats, everything, that character's gone. Now that's completely independent of the game itself. Diablo 2 has a completely online capability. They will keep your character alive. If you want to play your character off of the ladder, you can have your character from the day that the game released till now. It could be the same character, as long as it's been kept active. On the other hand, the ladder characters, they do get reset. So the question I have for y'all is, do you think that a ladder system would be effective in Diablo 3 as long as it was independent from the Diablo 3 characters that already exist?
Well, I think it sounds pretty cool. For two reasons. First of all, it just sounds fun. I mean, that's the kind of thing that a lot of people like to do and like to participate. It gives them another challenge and, you know, gives them something to strive for. And I always am terrible at these kinds of things, no matter what kind of game it is, whether it's rankings or leaderboards. But it's always fun to try, and I mean, I think this is a fun way to do it. I never actually have done that in Diablo 2. It's been a long time since I've played Diablo 2, but I think if they added it to Diablo 3, I think it'd be really cool, and I'd give it a shot, and I'd be terrible, but at least I know exactly how terrible I was. also, I think maybe the most important reason to add this in is that, you know, players out there are always, you know, begging for more content for this game. They say the end game is terrible, and they got to do something else. I mean, this is just another thing they can add that would, you know, increase the longevity of the game, give players something who have already, you know, maxed out every character, you know, multiple times. It gives them something else to do and another reason to go on the F word and brag about it. But, so I think it sounds great. I don't see any reason to not add it.
Right. It keeps the game rejuvenated. It forces you to make a new character because your old one is deleted. Honestly, right. It's exactly what it is. But they wipe the slate clean. They give you a fresh start. It's like starting the game all brand new without anyone there to fill the auction house with all the best items, without anyone there who has all the best gear, who's just going to carry you through the acts. It is starting fresh. It's not only you starting fresh, it's everyone starting fresh. It lets you get that feel of what Diablo felt like if it were released with all the patches, as it were, today.
Right. Well, I think that sounds great.
I think, you know, I'm fine with it too, as long as it is optional. Because I probably wouldn't, you know, make use of that unless maybe if it were some kind of like hardcore challenge, like reach, you know, X position in the ladder, you know. That might be a cool thing. But I probably wouldn't make use of that. And, you know, if it wasn't optional, I'd hate to lose my character that I have now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think a ladder system would be great. It's the human element. It lets you actually put effort to compete with other people, which, you know, when it's not directly impeding them, it's a good thing. This is something that can let you prove how good you are at the game itself. And this is a great idea. But again, as long as it's optional. If in any way this ladder system, as you know, if it were Diablo 2 and they just completely wiped everything, Diablo 2, no one would ever play it. Ever. I mean, Diablo 3, you can only play it online. If they're going to wipe all their characters, you better believe people would leave it in droves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be optional, and there can't be an auction house, which I can't imagine they would do that. But
well, I could see them doing a ladder auction house. I really can. They already have a hardcore auction house, which is iffy. But the thing is the hardcore auction house is exactly how I think they should make the ladder auction house, should they put that in the game. The hardcore auction house, unlike the normal auction house in the game, does not have the capability to have real money spent in the auction house. It's only gold.
Right, so you can't buy gold either. You can't spend any real money. Yeah.
Your play in the auction house, on the hardcore D3 auction house, is solely based on how good you've done in game, what you found, what you can put up, and what other people can put up, and you can purchase with the gold that you've earned in game. It actually, you know, I know a lot of people say, oh, well, if you're playing the auction house, that's, you might as well be cheating at the game. But honestly, the hardcore auction house really does feel rewarding. It really feels like, yeah, someone else may have found that item, but I've worked hard to stay alive for the gold that it takes to get that item off of the auction house. It really does feel good. And if they do that with the ladder system, especially knowing that the ladder is going to be reset, they couldn't have a real money auction. That would be ridiculous. People would be, you know, going crazy. How dare you delete my items? You know, stuff like that. I really feel if they have the D3 ladder system, they have a gold-only auction house, that would work wonders.
An auction house for the ladder in D2?
Well, there was no auction house in D2.
Wow, that sounds horrible.
I know. People had to trade. It actually ended up, because they had no proper way to handle trade for a long time, it ended up with Diablo 2 having just a huge black market online. So, anyway, that was back in the day. So, moving on. I think we all have come to an agreement with talking about the D3 ladder. I would love to see an optional D3 ladder come into the game, especially once they get patch 1.1, which is supposedly the patch that's going to bring in PvP. I'm not looking forward to that. I want it out of the way. So once that's in the game and we can shove it aside and say, that's nice, PvP's there, that's cute and all, then they can start working on the ladder system. I would love to see the ladder system come into game after that, and I'm all for it. I'm 110%.
So yeah, sounds good to me. I hope they do it.
Speaking of a few changes we may possibly see in 1.1, the first one is there's been a large discussion on the battle.net Diablo 3 F-word. That's right, the forum. There's been a large discussion as to exactly what should they do to help players get around. And the idea actually started out talking about can players drop their banner and in doing so, set that as their spawn point if they die.
Kind of like a telepipe?
Kind of doing a telepipe thing. So, the idea, it could cause a lot of glitches. It could cause a lot of exploits. So, that idea kind of quickly went out the window. But the good ideas didn't stop there in this conversation. In fact, a blue post chimed in when the idea came across of making the resurrection timer max out at 3 seconds. In fact, it got so much heat that a large blue post was brought up that seemed to be very, very much in agreement that really it seems irrational to punish players who die multiple times by saying, hey, you can't play the game anymore.
Yeah, I hate it because sometimes I die that much.
Well, you know, some classes they die.
30 seconds later, you get to revive.
That's ridiculous. So they're talking about bringing the max resurrection timer to 3 seconds, which I believe if there's going to be a resurrection timer at all, that's not too bad of a time to have.
Yeah, I can wait 3 seconds.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point of the resurrection timer is to stop you from just, you know, running in, getting killed, running in, getting killed, running in. It actually makes you stop and have to wait and then go back in. It breaks up the exploiting just a little bit more. But along different lines in game, they found that through testing, people have not been able to kill treasure goblins. They've just been a little bit out of reach for the normal player. And we see, I know that there's been talk of players coming out with multiple millions of DPS, but I'm not one of those people. And I, for one, have had a little bit of an issue, especially at higher monster powers, being able to kill treasure goblins. I've had issues, especially in Act 4, killing them, because I'm worried that if I run behind them too far, I'm going to run into a pack and get myself killed. So I'm hesitant, and that causes it an even bigger issue. But the point being is the goblin health is so high that they've recognized this, and a blue post came out saying that they will be reducing goblin health to fit more in line with what they were wanting for the moment. That's specifically to help out people in Inferno, higher monster powers. Like, well, I'm having issues in Monster Power 3, but that just could be me.
No, I have issues sometimes in Monster Power 1 on my monk, but my monk has like horrible DPS.
Well, that's the thing. It is a DPS check. I hope they don't nerf it so far that it's going to be just like, you know, accidentally brush up against them and they explode.
I'd love that, actually.
It's a DPS check. I mean, it's meant to be. All right. A little bit off topic, but not so much. If you're into the nifty little things in the game, like I am, such as banners, sigils, and the such, StarCraft II Heart of the Storm was announced, which, yeah, that's cool, but we're not going to cover StarCraft II on this show, which is coming out March 2013. Cough. But it will have a few special bonuses, such as for Diablo 3, you'll be able to have a brand new banner sigil specifically for StarCraft II Heart of the Storm, which will come in-game. But also, you'll have a usable item, much, much like the Collector's Edition wings that you may see your friends running around with these big, giant, glowy wings. If you purchase the Digital Deluxe or the Collector's Edition of StarCraft II Heart of the Storm, you'll be given Blade Wings, which are much like the main character Kerrigan, develops Blade Wings throughout the game. So you'll be able to use Kerrigan's wings in Diablo 3.
That's pretty cool.
Someone is messaging me in Skype. Huh, StarCraft 2 is coming out just in time for someone's birthday. Yes, it is, Steve. Hint.
Hint, hint.
Yes.
We'll see how much I love you.
All right, let's actually talk a little bit along the same lines with a big Diablo 3 fan. I know we brought Steve on here, who's possibly a little bit more crazy about Diablo 3 than I am. But I actually heard that you were playing something a little bit different, weren't you?
Oh, man, yeah, I've been kicking it on Torchlight.
Well, tell us about it. I want to hear from the very moment you downloaded it exactly what your thoughts were till now. I want to hear what's going on with that.
Well, generally, my thoughts were, man, I've been hearing David talk about this on his show, and, like, you know, sometimes Joe comes on and, like, you know, he talks a lot about how awesome it is. So I wanted to check that out. I wanted to say, hey, how is this? You know, is this any good? So, and me being a diehard Diablo 3 fan, right, I did not want to like it. Because it's like, man, this is like a competitor for Diablo. You know, I don't want to enjoy it. So I downloaded the trial version because, you know, I saw it on Steam and it doesn't cost me anything. And I've been enjoying it. I played the engineer first, and I played it all the way through, you know, up to where I could play on the demo. And I got to say, it's been a lot of fun. Like, it seems like, you know, on Diablo 3, with some of the restrictions that they give you on, like, you know, how many passives you can have and what skills and runes, it seems like you're limited a lot. You can't pick all of the best stuff. Well, in Torchlight 2, it feels like you can. You really can pick all of the best stuff. And so I played that all the way through on the engineer, and then I've started an Outlander, and I've been playing the demo on Outlander, right? And I didn't enjoy it as much as the engineer, but I mean, it's a good game. It's probably worth $20, and I really didn't want to like it because I enjoy Diablo so much, but I really did enjoy Torchlight 2.
Well, that's actually very good to hear. Yeah, I know that people compare the two all the time, but they really are two very different games. And they definitely feel it. Like, Diablo 3 has a feel more like you're along a specific progression. Like, they want you to build your class in a certain way for it to be balanced or else. Where Torchlight 2, it's more or less, hey, here's a handful of skill points. Use them. Destroy everything. It has a different feel.
I have a hard time not picking passives.
Yeah.
I'm kind of weak.
No, there are some excellent passives in Torchlight 2. I know I have an Ember Mage, and I'm addicted to my Ember Mage passives. That's all I spend points in. Now, Brian, have you actually been playing any Torchlight lately?
I have, yeah. You know, a couple weeks ago, you and Dan were talking about how the engineer is pretty much indestructible, and he's, you know, BA and can't be defeated. So I'm like, well, I'm going to try an engineer then. So I've been playing my engineer, and maybe foolishly, looking back, I've been putting all of my skill points into strength. So, you know, nothing in vitality or anything like that. So, you know, my guy hits for a ton of damage, and he's awesome. And I've got the heal bot, and I've got a lot of points in my heal bot, but man, I am dying like every time I cough. It's terrible. I don't know if I'm just that bad, or if I've really messed up my skill points by going all strength, which I'm assuming is the answer.
Now, but, what level are you?
Got this one as high as level 16. So not too far with him, but, you know, I'm dying a lot early and often. At Chillhoof, I think was his name, he killed me like 3 times, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it could be that you haven't put stat points into vitality.
Yeah, and I know that's probably sounds dumb to not do that, but I just thought, well, he's so tough, you know, everybody says he's awesome, I'm just going to go and just wipe everybody out with one swing, which for the most part I can do, but, you know, once you get surrounded by a few guys and got one really tough guy in front of you, I guess it doesn't work out so well. But it's still fun. I love the engineer. He's awesome.
Oh, man. The engineer has this one move where they slam their weapon into the ground.
Yes.
And it does this, like, crackle around it. But if you have your bar filled up enough to actually go to one of the dots, and you slam do that attack where it slams in the ground and it does the crackle thing, it'll actually shoot straight out and hit, like, in a row, destroying everything in its path. I love it.
Wow.
You got to play with that one.
All right, I'm gonna try it.
You got to. Oh, it's so much fun.
Nice.
So anyway, let's see what else is there going on in the gaming world. What do you think of Titan Quest?
Titan Quest seems pretty good too. I mean, it's like it feels a lot like Age of Empires. I mean, like it's not. I mean, it's not anything like that.
That's like kind of what I said last week. Is it looks like a zoomed in Command and Conquer, don't it?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And like, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I was playing it as I think I was doing Pyromancer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be real careful with how you do your points in that game, because you can mess yourself up.
Yeah, you really can. It definitely seems like it's very unforgiving. Like if Torchlight 2 lets you do whatever the hell you want, and then Diablo 3 is very limited. Titan Quest, it feels like if you make one wrong step, you may want to consider restarting your character. It really does feel like that. But on the other hand, I really do enjoy the point system in Titan Quest. It is very innovative. I love the way they did it.
It's pretty neat.
Now, I know you only played the demo. The demo is very limited, isn't it?
You know, I think it is. I mean, I can't say for sure, like, when you were picking your mastery, mm-hmm. you were able to pick out of like any of them, right?
Yes.
Okay. Whenever in the demo, you can choose from like three, and I can't tell you what they are. One of them is like hunter. You can pick pyromancer, and then you can pick like a warrior type one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a few days since I played it, so I don't know. But it is pretty limited in what it lets you do.
Well,
and you don't get to play very far either.
Well, you said how many levels in would it let you get?
I think I got to like level 6, maybe level 9, but it stopped me pretty hard and abruptly. It didn't even say like, oh, you're blocked. You know, it was just like, oh, you need so much experience to level up. But I can never get. It doesn't go down. It just stays saying I need 11,000 experience.
Well. Honestly, that game is very much worth getting, and next time it goes on sale on Steam, I'm going to yell at everybody, you know, get it! Because it really, I understand the demo may not be the best in the world, but that game is very fun.
I believe it. I believe it.
I'm in love with it. All right, a few other things. Borderlands 2. Has had a few bugs fixed, especially one on the Xbox 360. Apparently, some people were trying to hack the game, ended up hacking it so that it would erase games of people who they played with online by accident. I'm sure they didn't mean it just sort of ended up being that way. A patch came through on Xbox Live, which simply states, added security to prevent data loss tied to malicious violations of the Xbox Live code of conduct through an unsupported third-party program. In other words, thanks a lot for hacking our game. We fixed it so that you won't mess anybody else up. So I'm glad that they found the bug and they fixed it. Hopefully this is all said and over with. But again, this only affected people on the Xbox 360. PC and PS3 players were not affected by this precise issue. One more thing. I know last week we spoke about a mobile iOS version of Borderlands. Well, going along the lines of Apple products, Borderlands 2 will be making its debut in just a few days on Macs. So Mac owners, please start your rejoicing now. Prep your guns that scream at you to reload and shoot people in the face, because Borderlands 2 is coming at you November 20th. Unfortunately, there's no announcement for any of the DLC, but let's cross our fingers and hope that DLC will be out for it as soon as they can get it to you. All right. one last game that we want to cover is Phantasy Star Online 2. Now, I know that We've always we've touted this as being one of the big ones on the show, and I know that there are listeners who may not want to really hear about Phantasy Star Online 2, thinking, oh, it's just another one of those games. It's not even out in America yet. How can it be anything to listen to? Well, here's the thing. They've sort of unofficially said, hey, we're going to have monthly content updates. Okay? Now take that with a grain of salt, especially with this month's updates. November 7th came the first update called Destroyer of History. We found out when it came out, though, that it was called Destroyer of History Part 1. Now, Destroyer of History Part 1, again, released November 7th, came in as adding 1.6 gigabytes of just new content. It added a whole new area, whole new experience systems, a bunch of more levels, tons of everything across the board, everything. More. And they don't seem to want to stop. The guys at Phantasy Star Online have announced another update this month. That's right. They promised you, kind of hinted, promised you at one update a month. This month they're breaking their promise. They're lying to you. Why? Because they're coming out with two full updates this month. The second one is Destroyer of History Part 2. It's going to have brand new chapters of story content. Whole new bosses. In fact, they're bringing back in the Falls bosses. New costumes. Brand new parts for your mags. Everything. Brand new events. Everything is coming into the game. More of everything across the board. It's great to see that they're putting this much effort into this game. Every day that goes by, you know, it's this and The Elder Scrolls Online. I swear, the second those two games come out, I'm not going to be playing anything else.
This is really cool, Dave, because, I mean, I haven't played any of the Phantasy Star games yet, but, I mean, this game is going along in Japan, and they keep adding more and more to it and getting bigger and bigger, so presumably by the time it comes out in America, it'll be this amazingly huge, you know, complete game, assuming it all comes with the initial product. But I mean, this sounds awesome. All the stuff they're adding, there's gonna be a ton of stuff to do when it comes out.
Oh man, I've already been playing this. The second it came out for release for you to be able to download it, I downloaded it first thing. I was playing it first thing. I can tell you right now that how it released, even if they don't give us any of the patches right away, if they give us just what they started out with in Japan, in you're gonna have a great time.
Wow.
Yeah, cool. If once it's ported over and translated to English, yeah.
I'm stoked.
Oh,
I'm ready for it.
I'm so ready for this. But cross your fingers. I'm expecting a first quarter release, which means by March, I'm expecting to see this come out in America. But it could be, especially with all this new content, I'm hesitant to see it come out so early in the year. Let's hope by April that we actually see it come out, because that would make me ecstatic. I definitely would be, because I'm, again, Phantasy Star Online 2 and The Elder Scrolls Online, and I'm just going to be planted in my chair playing video games and vegetating for, that's it. I'm wrapping it up. That's I'm done.
That sounds like a plan.
It really does, doesn't it? It's like, you know, I get mad at one, I can just go to the other. That's exactly how it's going to be. Back and forth. Anyway, all good news aside, there actually is a bit of disappointing news. And that's not just for Phantasy Star Online. This actually extends out to any of the Sega games that they have in their repertoire at the moment that use the Sega ID logins. Unfortunately, creating a new Sega ID registration outside of Japan has been disabled. Japan has been region locked for Sega at the moment, but I'm sure that this has to do something with, you know, just trying to build up security or something, because this just doesn't seem rational to say, hey, we don't want people playing our games. I mean, that goes, that flies in the face of logic when that's what they're making the games for. So this
they,
is
they want money.
Of course,
they'll make it work eventually, I assume.
Yeah, this isn't just, this is actually affecting games that are already out in America. One such game is, I believe it's free to play on Steam at the moment. It's called Rusty Hearts. Now, Steve, you said Audra plays this thing, right?
Yeah, she played it once. I'm not sure if she plays it now, but yeah.
We should call her and ask her on the show.
Yeah. Be like, did you play this game? Are you playing it now?
Yeah.
Ask her if she's playing it right this second.
And they get mad when she's not.
Exactly.
Yes. She's gonna hear this and get mad at us. That's gonna be wonderful. Anyway, the game, along with any other games that use Sega ID, had been restricted to Japan only. So if your IP doesn't come out of Japan, it gives you a page that literally all that it says on the page is, well, it says it in kanji. It doesn't actually say it in English, but what it says translated is not available from your area, meaning, hey, bro, you're region locked because you're not in Japan. And this is actually affecting Rusty Hearts as well as any other Sega game that does use this ID. But again, I expect it to not only be fixed soon, but well before next year's release of Phantasy Star Online 2. It really, really points that they are trying and working toward a stateside release for Phantasy Star Online 2, and I'm so excited. I refuse to think that they would not bring it here. All right, guys. Is there any other games that we've actually missed talking about this week? Nothing?
I don't think so.
Tic-tac-toe?
Connect. We did have a riveting game of that.
You know? All right, well...
Solitaire.
Solitaire! Yes, yeah, solitaire while on the toilet. That's exactly... That's what cell phones are made for. All right, guys. Well, I do want to thank everybody for listening to us. And I'm sorry that we've had such a bad couple of weeks. But hopefully we'd be back in the swing of things and hope to hear back from everybody next week. I want to give a few shout-outs to our very, very wonderful followers on Twitter. Nothingness, thank you. Sulfurstick. Thank you. And ZZ Corrode. Thank you. All from America. Also, we have one from Australia. Chewy W. Now remember, if you'd like to have anything said on the show, you know, small congratulations, even a birthday shout out. That's for a small fee of $10. We provide any small adder shout out to whomever or commemorate whatever you wish. Please go to our website and use the PayPal donate button. Or simply email us and we'd be happy to point you in the right direction. You can reach us anytime at dungeoncrawlerpodcast.com. Or you could send us an email at dungeoncrawlerpodcast@gmail.com. If you like to reach our portal site so you can find any of the wonderful shows that our network puts out, that's questgamingnetwork.com. Our record days, Minecraft Off the Record Live is our only live show, and that's Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. On livestream.com/thequestshow. SWTOR Reforged is recording on Monday nights, and they're actually going free to play, so that's actually something to listen to. They see all the new sorts and tidbits that are coming into the game for SWTOR. It's very, very exciting. Elder Scrolls Off the Record is Thursday, and I refuse to get off of that show just so I can talk about the Elder Scrolls Online coming out. So if you're as excited about that as I am, or if you don't even know what it is yet but want to, Elder Scrolls Off the Record, check it out. Adrenaline Gaming actually is recording on Wednesday nights, but I think that we're going to be butting in recording Wednesday as well. Well, at least for a few weeks, just to try to test it out the waters and see how that fits us. But we will be having our show released on time, as soon as possible. So expect our shows, again, weekly, as soon as we can get them out. Quest Legion is premiering on Friday nights, and that's hosted by Avarwin from Elder Scrolls Off the Record fame. Now, you can reach us on Twitter. You can reach us directly, the show, at DCrawler Podcast. Or you can reach me at DEnforce. That's D-I-E-N Force. You can reach Brian at Silent Fury 007. Or do you want me to say 007?
Yeah, that sounds cooler. Do 007.
You Silent Fury 007.
There we go.
That sound good?
Awesome.
Okay. You can check me out. I actually need to clean up my buddy list, but you can check me out on any of the Diablo 3, or I think you may even catch me if you're on WoW. My battle tag is Dian number 1737. You can also catch Steve. That's at Kete, K-E-T-E-H, hashtag number sign 1816. Dungeon Crawler is a Quest Gaming Network podcast written by all the hosts of Dungeon Crawler. Never give out your account information for any of your games. Remember, if you're playing a Battle.net game, grab a Battle.net authenticator, either a physical one or one for free on your cell phone. And remember, install antivirus and anti-spyware software. Have a great one, everybody. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, guys. It was my birthday yesterday. Should I send you $10 to have you say it on the show?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank
yeah,
you.
We can't say happy birthday, Brian, on
okay,
the show.
Legal trouble, gotcha.
Right, yeah. So, we will definitely not say happy birthday, Brian.
All right, darn it.
Okay, moving on.
You always
really, was it your birthday, Brian? I didn't know that.
It was, yeah.
Oh, well, Jesus. Well, happy birthday. Woo!
Thanks. So I have to send it $20 now. All right.
Yes. That's. I think we've said it, what, enough? Well, you're paying to fix my car. We'll put it that way. That is a lot.
Happy birthday to me.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to David.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a fixed car now.